And I thought today we'd catch up with a few people in the industry, just have a chat. A lot of people these days with syndicators in particular buy a horse, they get a share and they see the bill breaking into the horse. What's that mean? Because I suppose to a lot, I reckon this lady might agree, people sometimes look and think, well, hang on, sheepdogs are bred to round up sheep. Aren't racehorses bred to race? And just go and do it. And Wendy Haynes knows that that is not quite the case. She's one of the best horse breakers around. Good morning, Wendy.
Good morning, Sean.
Now, I suppose if I could liken you to a school mistress with students, you've had a few A graders go through your classroom.
I certainly have.
Can you tell us a couple of the prize recruits?
We've had Belle du Jour come through here. DeLollies, she won the Gym Crack. Mira Mira, she won the Gym Crack and the Magic Millions. Zagalia won the Queensland Oaks. And Tuesday Joy. Yes, quite a few university students.
Well, and a few of them who were early runners as well.
Yes, yeah.
Wendy, these days, when you get the horses from the sales, for owners who are listening, new owners, we see them at the yearling sales. They've got a head collar on them with a bit in their mouth and so forth. They've probably had a reasonable amount of work done with them by the time they arrive to you, so you're not starting with just basic raw material.
That's right. Usually, at least if they come from the sales, they've been taught to lead, which you might think that that's not a big deal, but it is. If you haven't taught a horse to lead, it takes a week or so to start that. They've had a bit in their mouth. They've often had a rug on, so they've had something over their back, and it all makes a big difference to starting them off.
I suppose the other beauty is they've had their feet trimmed, so at least you can pick up their legs.
Yeah, they've usually got shoes on as well already, so...
Do you get many these days who are the typical raw recruit almost straight from the paddock?
We do still get quite a few. There's a lot of people that just breed their own, and they haven't had much handling at all, so, yeah, I do still get quite a few of those.
So if you get a raw recruit in, for owners, prospective owners who are listening now, what's the procedure? How long does it take you from the time they arrive at your place until you can say, righto, they're ready to go back to out for a spell and then back to the trainer?
That depends entirely on the horse. They're like children. They all work at their own pace. We like to just let them go each step at a time, so it can take... If you've got one that picks it up really quickly, it can be all done in about 4 weeks. If you've got one that just needs that bit more time, it can take up to 8 weeks. It just depends entirely on the horse. And we don't put a time limit on our horses. I know a lot of the big breakers have to turn them over quickly. We like to only have a couple at a time and spend the time that they need to get them through the process and end up with a nice horse that understands everything you want and trusts you and have the best possible start to their career.
Wendy, when they come to you from the yearling sales, as I said, owners see them there and they've got a bit in their mouth, while you can lead them, are they actually mouthed or do you have to go through the mouthing process, which is basically teaching them to steer and to stop?
No, we definitely have to teach them to steer and stop, yes. That's probably the most important thing that we teach them before we get on their back is to go where you want them to, when you want them to, and stop when you need them to. So that's but they've only had a bit in their mouth. They haven't been taught what each side of their mouth means and how to go where you want them to go and stop when you need them to stop.
And the mouthing process can be quite delicate because the skin on the mouth there is relatively, it's new. It hasn't been calloused up as such. You've got to make sure you don't mark them or you don't sort of break the skin too much.
That's right. You've got to be nice and gentle and just have them understand. You've got to build an understanding with them. You can't force a horse to do anything. You've got to get him to understand what you want and then want to do it.
Now, when it comes time to finally throw the saddle on and jump on, Wendy, do you do it or are you smart? Do you stay on the ground and con someone else into doing it?
Now that I've got children, I con someone else into doing it. There was a time when you think you're indestructible and you just jump on everything, but now I pay someone to do it for me.
Have you had any surprise packets over the years where you looked and thought, God, this thing's quiet, and then you hop on and think, holy smokes, they lit the fuse?
I had a couple, but they're not too many of them. We tend to spend that bit extra time, and our philosophy is that you teach a horse to not buck rather than get on them and ride the buck out of them. I started to learn to break in when I was in England, and we don't use stock saddles. They just get on them straight in the pad. So the last thing you want to do if you're riding a little exercise saddle is have a horse buck. So my husband Peter helps me, and our philosophy is we'd much rather not have them buck in the first place.
Well, the little exercise saddles, you get no knee pads on them really, so you get nothing to grip onto.
That's right. If they have a go, you're off. So much better not for them to not have a go. So we tried to teach them.
Now, some of the old horse breakers, they'd get on things and say, oh, this has got Star Kingdom blood in it. You look and you think, are you pulling my chain or not? And they reckon they could tell by the breed when the minute they got it, they could tell they're going to be any good. When you hopped on Belle d'Azur for the first time, did you go, yeah, nice filly, or something nicer?
Oh, she was always a lovely filly. It was more her attitude than the way she went. I mean, she pretty much broke herself in. She just did everything perfectly first time. And first time you rode her, she just was lovely. She just had such a lovely attitude to life that you knew that she was going to be a lovely horse, whatever she did. But whereas a horse like Tuesday Joy, you got on her, she was such a big filly right from the start, even as a yearling, and you could feel there was something really, there was a big motor in there, you know. So it's, some horses you can, but little horse like Belle d'Azur, she just, it was more her attitude than the way she felt when you rode her.
What about the ones like the Gimcrack winners? When you got on those, did you think, gee, you're smart on your feet, or you just the energy? Or did they just feel like your normal horse?
Oh, no, DeLolly's had an extreme amount of energy. She was always very forward, very, right, let's get on with it, let's go. So, yeah, she did give you that. Those early ones you can usually tell, yes.
Colts give you more problems than fillies or not?
I think probably the other way around. I think with a colt that is a bit difficult, if they're quiet, they're quiet. If you've got a colt that's being a bit of a handful, you can usually stand over him and say, no, you do what I say, without being cruel to him. You can say no, and he goes, oh, okay. Whereas a filly, you've got to get her to work with you. If you've got those fillies that have got that bit of strong personality, which is what you want in a filly, you want them to be that strong. If you go in to start a battle with one of those, you've had it. There's only going to be one outcome. It's them or you. So you've got to get them to work with you more than... With a colt, yeah, you can say, nope, you do what I say. And then you've got the ultimate revenge on a colt. You can recommend that he gets gelded.
That's
it. Naughty.
Pull the back teeth out.
That's right.
Now, it's a lot like children, really, isn't it?
It is.
Wendy, your background, I'm talking with Wendy Haynes, who breaks in horses, I suppose educates horses is a better description. You were raised in Newmarket in the UK.
I was, yeah. My dad, he was a steeplechase jockey, my father, Clive Searle. And then he worked for a few large trainers in Newmarket, and I grew up there, started riding out when I was about 11, riding on the heath, and then we emigrated to Australia when I was 14. So.
That would have been a fascinating experience, riding there in Newmarket over the rolling downs almost.
It certainly is. It's beautiful, yeah, very different.
With horses' legs, I mean, here we tend to try and look at flat tracks, whereas there they don't mind if there's undulations, do they?
No, that's right, yeah. Yeah.
Did it affect the horse's legs more there, or do you think it just toughened them up?
I think that probably more going around bends here has a bigger effect on horses' legs than hill work. So I think that going around these tight bends, you often find that can have an effect on the horse's legs.
Now, you came out here to Australia, and you were apprenticed as well.
I was. I was the first female apprentice to ride a winner at Randwick.
Now, how long ago was that?
1989.
And do you remember the horse, obviously?
Yeah, King Knight. Yeah, my father trained him. He won 20 races for Dad, so actually won twice in that week on him. I rode him again. That was on the Wednesday at Randwick, and I rode him again at Canberra on the Saturday, and he won again. So.
Take us through the Randwick ride. That must have been a huge thrill for the first female apprentice to win at Royal Randwick.
It certainly was. The horse had never won over 1,200 metres. He'd won over from 800 to 1,000. My instructions that day from my dad were just go out and have fun, and I certainly did. He jumped in front and led all the way.
Now, the most important thing, did Dad sling?
He certainly did.
Oh, that's the main thing. Now, your husband, Peter, is also well known in the equestrian ranks too.
Yeah, he was an elite three-day event rider. The sport that Australia won a gold medal at Sydney for, he was actually long-listed for Sydney, but the horse went a bit wrong just before the final selection, and now he does video production, mainly for equestrian, but for other things too.
Now, it's interesting with a lot of racehorses, sometimes they will send them out to do equestrian work just to settle horses down and make them relax more.
Yeah, which is what we can do here, so it's great. It does make a big difference to them, have them going nicely, and we can work, Peter and I work together on that. He can give me advice and... on to getting the horses travelling nicely. It makes a big difference when they go to a trainer. If they're going nicely, they do really appreciate it. So.
Now, Wendy, you also train?
Yes, I do.
So how many horses do you have in work?
I've only got three in work at the moment.
And are they racing?
Yeah, I've got two in at Hawkesbury on Sunday.
And can we get a tip?
I think a Tinsler in the 1600 metre maiden will run a big race. She raced well at Hawkesbury a couple of starts ago. She ran third. Last start she got held up for a run and ran on and ran sixth, I think. So she'll run a big race.
Now, how the heck do you manage to fit all this in? You're training horses, you break them in, and you obviously have a family to look after as well.
Yeah, I get a lot of help from my husband, Peter. My mum also comes and helps me at the track, so I just get up early. Pete works from home, so I take my horses to the track early. He gets the children up and ready for school, and come home, have breakfast with them, and then start the work outside. So all gets done.
Now, you've broken in, as I said, some beautiful horses and some very good horses. When you look back over them, which one was the favourite?
Probably Belle du Jour. She was my favourite. She was such a lovely horse to do anything with. I was there when John Singleton and Jerry Rose bought her. I was stood next to John when he bid for her, and I was there with Jerry Rose when the first time he saw her. She walked past, and we were actually looking at another horse, but another client, and she walked past, and he said, "Quick, Wendy, find out what that horse is." So I went and got her lot number, and yeah, he just fell in love with her, and she was a special horse.
How do you find dealing with Singo?
I've known him a very long time. My dad worked at ran Prince's Farm,
yeah.
And I was only 15 or 16, so he's always been like another father to me.
He's a character.
He's definitely a character, yes.
Has he ever shouted the bar at your place?
No, not for a while.
Well, Wendy, it's great to catch up with you this morning. As I said, it's just one of those days where it's a little quieter, but we'd catch up with some of the personalities in racing. And you do a wonderful job breaking in the horses or educating the babies. And there have been some beauties go through your classroom there. And thanks for your time. We appreciate it. And good luck on Sunday with your runners at Hawkesbury.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Wendy. Wendy Haynes. And she's one of the horse breaks at Alcaringa Park there with her husband, Peter. And as you heard, she's broken in some very nice horses, Belle du Jour and Sunday Joy, to name just two.